from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Cy Musiker with The Duelist. And this week, we're dazzled by a diamond and feeling a love supreme. David Wiegand and I feel so much love for the universe. He's the assistant managing editor for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning.
Where do you come up with these things?
That's just how I feel today.
I'm so glad.
We begin today with a bit of back rock.
And what's it all about? Alfie. Is it just for the moment we live?
One of those amazing earworms by Burt Bacharach, Alfie. And here he is. He's singing just with some piano behind him. He's going to have a big band, though, in a couple days with the San Francisco Symphony.
He is. And, you know, I love Bacharach songs. I've always loved them. Obviously, everybody associates him with Dionne Warwick. But his own voice is sort of interesting. It's just sort of breathy. It's not a great voice, but it's just perfect in so many ways.
Well,
and
a lot of
I
feeling
love
for the music.
That song.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, terrific. And, you know, he sort of went out of favor in the 80s a little bit.
It's corny,
but who cares? It's so great. It really is a classic.
Burt Bacharach plays with the San Francisco Symphony on Wednesday night at Davies Symphony Hall, and San Francisco Playhouse is continuing its revival of Bacharach and Hal David's Promises through January 10th. Chris Hardwick is a funny guy, and he's so busy. He's got this Nerdist Empire thing going on with podcasts and other stuff, and he hosts a panel show on Comedy Central. But he dates supermodels, so how can he be a nerd? I don't get that.
Well, I love Chris Hardwick. He's like a snarky teenager in a lot of ways, you know, a little overgrown
like
maybe. But yeah, no, I love it. I think he's really funny. Anything he does is really funny. And, you know, he's kind of up and coming throughout all of television, maybe like Ryan Seacrest with talent.
Okay, Chris Hardwick plays Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco Thursday through a week from Saturday. Now, one of my favorite things. That's the beginning of A Love Supreme from John Coltrane, one of the most influential jazz albums of all time. And next week is its 50th anniversary of the recording of that album, December the 9th. And there's a lot of events locally to commemorate this because I think jazz musicians still feel like this is an album that speaks to them today.
I think absolutely that's true. I also think that anybody, even if you're not a jazz musician, is going to respond to this album. It's very spiritual in terms of its structure.
Yeah, it's a long prayer.
Intent, it's long prayer. And Coltrane himself did only one live performance of it in 1965, so this is a rare event coming up.
Yeah, the St. John Coltrane African Orthodox Church is doing a mass at Grace Cathedral on Monday, and SF Jazz is doing a set of tributes, kicking off next Wednesday with a panel featuring Ravi Coltrane and the author Ashley Kahn has written about A Love Supreme and others. And then Ravi Coltrane, this is John's son, will lead a performance of A Love Supreme a week from Saturday at SF Jazz. Here's a kind of nerdy cheap thrill now. Frank Portman of the Bay Area's least angry punk band, the Mr. T Experience, and he's also a young adult author.
That's right, and a very successful one. 2006, he wrote King Dork, about a total dork in high school, and it's for young adult readers.
For all
of
us.
But it got a lot of attention and a lot of, you know, praise. It was one of the American Library Association's picks for a great young adult novel. Now he's got a sequel to it called King Dork Approximately, and he's celebrating the release of that with a terrific program featuring performances by people like Chuck Prophet, Dr. Frank himself, readings by Karen Finley, Jack Bulwer, Bucky Sinister, and others. It's a whole night for dorks.
And that book release party for King Dork Approximately is on Sunday at 7 p.m. at 1234 Go Records in Oakland. And that's our cheap thrill. Admission is free. Now a sparkling diamond.
Mountain on top, a fire below, the pressure grows, pressure. I feel the weight of a billion years come down.
That's my brightest diamond, also known as Shara Worden, just the coolest female pop vocalist around, I think. And both of us think she looks a lot like a equally eccentric movie star.
She does. She kind of looks like Tilda Swinton.
I think so,
you know, dark hair and so forth. But she, she's a really fascinating person. She studied classical voice. You can sort of hear that when she starts singing.
She's got a lot of octaves there.
A lot of octaves. She's done, this is her fourth album, and it's really exquisite. She's just an extraordinary talent and someone to watch.
My Brightest Diamond plays the Great American Music Hall on Wednesday, and she's with Rabbit Rabbit, a wonderfully odd band from Massachusetts led by Carla Kilstedt. And David and I were at the reopening of the Museum of the African Diaspora this week. It's been reopened after a six-month closure for some renovations. And David, what impressed you when we were there?
I think what impressed me most of all was the openness that you feel as soon as you walk in. It was redesigned by Gensler Architects from San Francisco, and you walk in now and there is a welcoming feeling right away. It feels like a real gallery and not just a storefront on Mission Street. And there's just so much energy there that's right away that just hits you when you get in there.
Well, and I thought especially because Executive Director Linda Harrison has a lot of energy.
She does.
And she's great when she talked about the affiliation she's going to have with the Smithsonian Museum.
There are some pieces that we will get for them, and they'll have traveling shows, but we also have to have our point of view about it.
Yeah, so she's not doesn't want it to be just a place where other stuff comes. She called it the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval.
Having
that affiliation. And they have a couple new shows, one of them Finding the Eye in Diaspora. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, I think that it means that there's a sense of everybody can have their own personal experience with something at this museum. And obviously, there's an attraction for African-Americans, but not just African-Americans alone. I mean, I think anybody can go to that museum and feel a sense of where they belong and where they fit in the greater span of things.
Thanks a lot, David.
My pleasure.
David Wiegand is an assistant managing editor for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm Cy Musiker. You can find details on all these listings at kqed.org/the-do list and follow me on Twitter @CyrusKQED.